Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
We win.
Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Welcome and good morning. This is the last day, well, the last Saturday in June. Tomorrow is the last day in June, but I want to welcome you to this finale of the series, Living Holy in a Sinful World, and we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to move on and look for an exciting lesson in the Lord for July. So I want to just welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly I want to welcome each and every one of you that's on the line. I want to also give a shout out to my co-host, Missionary Terry Rogers, that helped and did a couple of Saturdays. I'm going to be calling on her again, so you will be hearing from her soon. We have had an exciting lesson. Certainly, before I get into my lesson, I want to do the announcements. Of course, Amazing Grace School of Ministry is out. Classes have ended, but if you're interested in listening, or if you're interested in still participating in those classes, you can, because they are now on the internet, and certainly you can listen to those classes in your own spare time. Let's get to the meat of the lesson, shall we? We have been dealing with a subject on this month that the Lord has been has wanted to share with you guys, and it has been, and let me do an overview. I look like my tongue is getting twisted, but we've been talking about living holy in a sinful world, and certainly we started out with Leviticus 19 and 2, and we also did 1 Peter 1 and 15. And we've been dealing with this subject because it seemed like so many people have adapted their own rules and moral laws to circumvent God. And God is still calling for us to live holy and righteous. He's calling for us to love one another and to be kind and sweet to each other. And that was the overview. And then on June 2nd, we had a very good presenter who came. I thank God again, our co-host, who talked about working out our own soul salvation. And my scriptures for that was Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5. Now, when I give you the scriptures, I'm not going to read those scriptures because I've talked about them on our blogs. And, of course, you can always go back and listen to this blog via Facebook, going to my Facebook page and hitting on Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear the whole entire message for yourself. You can also go back to previous episodes of the blog, blogtalk.com, blogtalkradio.com, and basically Destroying the Yokes of Bondage is the title, and you certainly can listen to any of the previous messages that we've had. So I'm only going to give you the scriptures, and you can look up the scriptures yourself. So we were talking about working out your own soul salvation, how important it is to really begin to line up and to read the word and to allow the word to really change you and bring about a metamorphosis. And certainly the last week, not the last week, but the week of June, we talked about the psychological impact, the effects on the sin nature, the flesh, and the necessity for purifying the flesh. And certainly we talked about the word of God that was focused on that was Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, and Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And certainly we were looking at various aspects of the sin nature and the heart and the flesh, and how that we have to allow the word to sanctify us, to allow the word to change us. So we have been really getting involved in what it means to walk in this world and not be a partakers of this world, to allow the word of God to transform us, a metamorphosis in essence, to allow this word to generate a different attitude, generate a different mindset, coming out of the old man into the new man and moving forward in God where we go from level to level. You know, we start out at different levels. You know, no man, we don't get to be a scholar overnight, but we're striving to be close, and we're striving to walk upright before the Lord. We're striving to have a relationship with Christ, and that relationship begins to cultivate a change in attitude, a change in the way we look at things, and a change in the way we deal with our problems. And certainly last week we dealt Christ conquers sin, living to live again, understanding that this is not our home. We're just passing through. You know, the old saints of God used to say, I'm a traveler. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. I can't take nothing with me. I can't take my clothes. I can't take my kids. I can't take my jewelry. I can't take my shoes. But once I leave this world, the only thing that I have to take with me is whether or not I've done the things that I need to do for Christ Jesus. So when I get on the other side, Christ will say, well done, thy good and thy good servant, and rest. So in essence, this week, thy good and faithful servant, thank you, Lord. I was looking for that last word. The Holy Spirit will show up when you need him. So today we are wrapping all of this up. We've been talking about living holy in a sinful world, and certainly we're living in a day where there are so many distractions. There are so many things that are bombarding us. There are so many things. There are so many attacks that we are facing. There's so many issues that we have to face in this day and time. You know, you almost want to say, forget it. I'm tired. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do it anymore. I just want to throw in the towel like a boxer. If you're in the ring, you want to take that white towel and throw it in and say, I give up. But Christ is still in the saving business. Christ is still in control. And today's topic we're dealing with, my hunger is for righteousness. And certainly, you know, I found the Beatitudes, because the Beatitudes over in Matthew speaks of a journey, speaks of a relationship with Christ that throws all for, gets all that selfishness, if you want it to be, if you wanted to walk in your flesh, if you wanted to just deny who you are, if you didn't want to do the things that you felt like you need to do. The book over in Matthew, the Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, gives us an indication of the fact of what God's promises are. And if we are seeking him, if we are looking to the hills from which cometh our help, if we are seeking to do the will of God, then there are blessings that will follow us. And we've got to not go by this world standard, because the world has a different standard, as we have dealt with the lessons, a different standard of how we should look at our problems, how we should see each other. It has a standard of it's me against the world, and I'm going to get mine regardless of whether or not you get yours. I'm going to step on all toes that I can. I'm going to step over. I'm going to step through. But I'm going to get mine if you don't get yours. But the word, but God is giving us a different understanding. He's giving us a different assignment. So let's read, shall we? It says, blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for there exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. And I just want to start with those two latter verses, and then I'm going to work my way up. You know, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward is in heaven. As saints of God, and living in this world, there is a different standard by which we have to walk. We don't walk by man's standard. We walk by the Lord's standard. That means we walk by the Spirit and not in our flesh. And because we walk not after the flesh, that means that there are things that we have to do in order to cultivate and to seek the Lord. Because in this day and time, we are bombarded by storms. Storms, storms, storms. It's not time. We used to say that I come out of a storm, I'm right into another one. That's not the day anymore. This is the day where you are in storm on top of storm. You think you're out of one, but you're not out of it before another storm comes. And that's because the enemy is strategic in this plan to attack the believers, because he understands that his time is winding up. So in essence, we've got to fortify ourselves in a manner that stands strong, and you're strong in the Lord and in the fullness of his power. That means we don't have time to be sitting on the sidelines playing and chit-chatting. We've got to go after God. We've got to seek God more now than any other time. You know, I often talk about turning off the TV, because there's so many, there is a spiritual element in everything that we do. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then the Bible says that we shouldn't walk after. If we walk after the Spirit, we fulfill those things that God has called us to do. It tells us not to walk after the flesh. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Why? Why? Because in essence, we want to live again. And because we've got to lay off every sin and every weight that besets us. You know, over in Romans, it tells us to lay off every sin, every weight, and run. So we've got to do that. We've got to do that in order to be able to deal with the storms that are coming before us. See, Satan wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. And that's what John 10 and 10 said. But Christ says, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly, meaning I come that no matter what the problem, no matter what the storm, God will see you through. That is the promise. And we've got a list of promises. We've got a list of what God would do when we're seeking him, what God will perform, that we are blessed because we're following after righteousness. Now, I said I was going to go 10 up from the bottom up. I started with 12. Blessed are ye when you are persecuted, when people say things falsely against you. And if you are representing Christ, if you are seeking God the more, there is a glory, there is a glow, there is a countenance about you where the enemy is not going to like. He's going to target you because of that relationship. If you don't think so, then go over to Job and read the book of Job, and you'll find that Job was targeted. He was targeted because of his right stand with God. And we're going to be targeted because we stand for righteousness. We stand to give God the glory. We stand holy. We stand on the platform of doing what's right. when everybody else around us is doing what's wrong is called integrity. When we stand up, and say, I am going to stand and stand on the book. And when you begin to stand on the book, when you begin to go grow up spiritually, there are things that God will start to pull off of you. There are weights that God will start to pull down off of you, because God wants to get the glory. And in order for God to get the glory, he's got to pull out of you every sinful habit, every sinful thought, every sinful element that has attached itself to you, and it has to be cleansed. And when God begins to cleanse you, when God begins to set you apart, men are not going to like it. Your family is not going to like it, because they want you to do the same things that they've been doing. You know, there's a saying that says, misery loves company. When you stand up for Christ, when you stand and set yourself apart with Christ, then you are not going along with the pack anymore. And people begin to hate you for that. They begin to talk about you. Who she thinks she is? She ain't no better than we are. It's not that I'm not any better. It's just that I want a relationship with Christ. I want him to talk to me. Talk to me through the night. I'm going through problems on top of problems, and I recognize that my help comes from the Lord, and he is able. He's able to talk to me in the midnight hour. He's able to wipe away my tears. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think. He will cradle me in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. And he will see me through my storms. Praise the Lord. And then number 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we look at 10, and I did say I was going backwards to the front. Persecuted. That goes with the stand that I just talked about. We're standing. We're standing for righteousness. And we thank God that here in the city of Chicago or in the United States, wherever you're listening to me or will listen to this blog app, we're living holy in a world that cannot be holy. We're setting ourselves apart in a world that does not want Christ, does not want to know the power of Christ. They try to group our God, the Creator, in a box with false gods, but he can't be put in a box because he is God. He's got the Father, got the Son, and got the Holy Spirit. He's God everywhere at the same time. He's present everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's all those things. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He will fight for us. So we are looking at a mighty God that's able to do what we ask him to do. And in this day and time, we've got to be specific in what we ask God for. We've got to be on our knees 24/7, 7 days a week. It's time out to play church. It's time out just to do one of those prayers in the morning. But we've got to pray constantly. The Bible tells us, and we talked about prayer a month ago or two, but we've got to pray all the time without ceasing, because we've got to call those things that is not as though they are. We've got to bring down, we've got to call things into play. We've got to call healing into play. We've got to call deliverance into play, because Satan is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to take away from you your families. He's trying to take away from you those things that belong to you, those things that you love, your family members, your friends, your job, your health. There's so much sickness going on in the society now. There's so many people that are well today and sick tomorrow. And you never know when it will be your last opportunity to give God his glory, to give to have that relationship with him. So we don't have time to just kind of patty cake. We don't have time. We've got to be strategic in our fight against the enemy. This battle that we're fighting is not a flesh and blood battle, but it's a spiritual battle. We've got to put the armor upon us, and we have got to go to war. We've got to tell the enemy that you will not take anything that belongs to me. And that means that we've got to put on our armor and we've got to go to war. We've got to set a standard of what it looks like to walk upright before the Lord, a standard to what it looks like to say, I am walking with integrity, and I am walking with God. I am righteous, meaning I am allowing the Lord to perform his righteousness in me. I'm allowing him to move in me to do the right thing. And you do the right thing when it hurts. You do the right thing when it costs. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some days maybe of crying. It's going to cost us some days to just back up and let the Lord, to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. So we've got these Beatitudes, and I'm not going to be able to finish all of them. I want to say this. When we going back up to the beginning, you know, the Beatitudes was said at the it's a Sermon on the Mount, and it covers blessings. And when you look at blessings, blessings are never earned, but is granted by God according to his good pleasure. And you can go to Psalms and read Psalms 8. But when you look at God, you know, another thing I want to say, a righteous action in itself can be considered a blessing because virtue is part of its own reward. Now, when we look at being blessed and we look at some of the things, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, and certainly he tells us that they are blessed. And then after he tells us that they are blessed, then he gives the reward. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they shall be comforted, the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's my favorite one, y'all. And that's because I need the Lord. I need to seek him daily. I want the Lord's presence. I want to be able to seek him. I want to be in his presence, because in his presence there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I exalt the Lord. I praise God. I worship him through my tears, through my trials, through everything that Satan tries to throw at me. I know the bottom line is I win. I win because God has my back, because God has told me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And because greatness in me, and how is greatness in me? It's because the Spirit of the Lord dwells on the inside of me. Now, there is nothing great about me, but the fact that I love the Lord and I cultivate a relationship with Christ Jesus. And because I cultivate a relationship with Christ Jesus, I walk not after my flesh, but I walk after the Spirit. And because I walk after the Spirit, I'm seeking the Lord more. I'm seeking the Lord on a daily basis. I'm making time to spend with him. Even if I do a driving from one client to another, I'm turning my music off, and I'm praying, and I'm giving him the glory. Even if I'm a home by myself and cleaning up my house, I do it praising and worshiping him. Hallelujah. This word excites me. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. And that's the relationship that we ought to have. We ought to have a relationship with Christ when we can call on him and he answers. And he answers when our ways please him. He says that in his word in Proverbs. He said he would give us the desires of our heart if our ways please him. Our ways are going to line up with his will. God, I want your will to be done in my life. I don't want Maria's will to be done in her life. I want your will to be done in my life. And I use myself as an example because this word hits me first. I want the word of God to transform, to have a metamorphosis in my life, because I recognize that I'm made in his image, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Maria has body, soul, and spirit, and this body is going to die one day, and that soul and that spirit will depart and be with Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Bible talks about and gives a window and some doors of what that's going to look like on the other side. But in order to get to the other side and peep in, we've got to live right down here. We've got to walk peaceably with men. We've got to have a standard of righteousness. When people want to curse us out, we've got to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. We've got to help the poor. We've got to be meek. We've got to be humble. We've got to strive to work towards resolving conflict. And this world don't know how to resolve conflict. If they did, you wouldn't see so many people getting shot. You wouldn't see so many people getting killed. People say, I'm getting mad, I get angry, and I'm going to pick up a gun, and I'm going to shoot somebody. But they've taken a life, and there's consequences. Yes, God forgives, but there's still consequences for our action. Ask David and the word of God. There were consequences for his actions, and certainly there's consequences for our actions. And therefore, I want the Lord's presence to be in me and ever so boldly strong, so my spirit man will dominate this flesh and be in control, and the sin nature that came when Adam and Eve sinned don't take over, but the Holy Spirit will control and be in full force. Now, how you do that? You watch and you guard what you see, your senses. You watch what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you allow to enter into your gates, because all of these are gates that Satan are trying to enter in. What you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you feel, what you say, all are gates that Satan will try to enter in to use for what he wants. You see something on television? A fighting and bickering, and then that spirit of fighting and bickering will stand up in you. When somebody say the wrong thing, you ready to get them told on your job. When the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not the way you operate. Humble yourself and let me fight your battle. It says in 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I thank God for each and every one of you that has listened. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, that this word has gone across, and I pray, God, that you have said something that will be a blessing to somebody else, Father God. I pray, God, that your word, matter of fact, you said that your word would not come back void. Hallelujah. And I know that you've blessed somebody, and you will bless somebody with your word. And Father God, I pray even now, God, those that are going through storms, those that are going through adversity, Father God, I pray that you uphold them in your righteousness. I pray, God, that you touch them. Those that are need a healing, I pray, God, that you touch them right now. Those that are mourning a loved one, I pray, God, that you even bless them as well, God. I pray, God, that you strengthen us. Father God, give us a desire to seek the more of you. Let us operate in that scripture. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I pray, God, that you give each and every one of us, even everyone that has listened, everyone that will listen to these blogs, I pray that you give them a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pray, God, that you allow them to seek the more of you. I pray, God, that you give them a desire to be in the Word and to apply that Word to their everyday life. Make it plain to us, Father God. Make it plain that we may apply it in application, in daily walking, in daily lifestyle, that that word would take the old man and kill it, and that a new man will form, God. A metamorphosis would take place, a transformation would take place in us, that we will no longer be the child of this world, but we'd be children of the light, God, that our desire would be to walk upright before you. Our desire is to have an intimate relationship with you. Our desire is to lean on you and not ourselves. Our desire is to put our trust in you, for you shall deliver us. Our desire, God, is to seek the more of you. Joy unspeakable, joy, joy, joy. Fill us abundantly, God, with your joy. Fill us abundantly with your presence. Fill us abundantly with your anointing. God, pour into us like never before. Allow your word to be seen. Let us be representatives of the light in the name of Jesus, walking the word in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you that were online today. We will start a new series on next week. If you have any questions or any concerns, certainly you can give me a call at 309-750-7584. If you wish to hear any of the lessons in our series, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, and you can go to Amazing Grace Ministries, and the subject or the topic is that we are destroying the yokes of bondage. So any of these lessons, any of these topics, anyone that you've heard starting from January 2019, you can click on it and you can hear a lesson. We thank God that this year the Lord has blessed us to be able to be on the air every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. And we thank God for the provisions. We thank God for this tool that he's using for us to get the word of God out to the people and to the public. And hopefully, give me a comment, give me a text, give me a text to say, Dr. Carey, I need you to address this issue. And certainly we have done that in the past, and we are willing to continue to address maybe an issue, a topic, or a problem of interest that you may have. Again, I want to admonish you to walk in a manner. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And with that verse, I'm going to end this last topic in this series, Living Holy in a Sinful World. I want to say, be blessed, be encouraged. God is on your side, and he's working it out for you. See you next week. Bye-bye.